Welcome back. As we continue our study in the book of Revelation, this is Pastor Dennis, and we got a lot to cover today, so I would like to begin with a word of prayer. Father God, we again humble ourselves before you, knowing that you have instructed us to read this book of the prophecy that we might be blessed. So Lord, bless us as we study and continue in our study of the book of Revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ himself. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory. Open our hearts and our minds to the prompting of your spirit as you teach us, and that we might come to know and to learn of your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're going to begin part one of what is called a vision of Christ, and it will encompass Revelation chapter 1, 9 through verses 9 through 16. And I would like to read those to you right now. It's kind of a lengthy reading, so if you have your word, please open it. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet, saying, write in a book what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, and to Smyrna, and to Pergamum, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. Here, in the first chapter of Revelation, we discover truth imparted in the form of symbols. Jesus is described in a way that is not intended to convey his actual physical appearance, but it conveys various aspects of his character, his attributes, and his role as the Son of God. The setting in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10a, we find John is on a tiny island in the Aegean Sea, as we'd mentioned before. It is called Patmos, and Patmos is about 4 miles wide and about 6 miles long. Now, Patmos was a dreary little place, and it wasn't like a holiday island we might go to today. It wasn't like the Hawaiian Islands. It was a dreary place, and it contained actually on Patmos a stone quarry. So they actually did mining there of stone and excavating stone. John had been banished there because why? Because why was he banished there? Because of the word of God, because he was proclaiming the word of God, and he was also proclaiming the testimony of Jesus Christ. You have to remember at this time that they didn't have the New Testament. So his testimony was of the Old Testament, which was the word of God at that time, and the testimony of Jesus Christ, which was being written as he was actually speaking. Now, it happened that on the Lord's day, which was a Sunday morning, John was in the Spirit. Now, a lot of people talk today, they think, well, he must have been in some kind of like haze or dreamlike state or some kind of religious ecstasy, but he was not. John was worshiping God and meditating on his greatness and majesty. If you turn back to the fourth chapter of John, if you will, you can write this down and reference it later. But it talks about that. John, the fourth chapter, in the 24th verse, tells us this. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Praise the Lord. So if we're to worship God, we must do so in spirit and in truth. So that particular verse 9 and actually the first part of verse 10 of chapter 1 of Revelation kind of gives us the setting. The next part, which is the latter part of verse 10 and the first part of, or all of 11, reads like this. The Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet, saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. So this is what John heard, a voice, and it was not like any other voice, but it was the voice of a trumpet. And the voice of God is sounding with a commanding, unmistakable clarity like that of a trumpet call. I don't know if you've listened to very many trumpets, but when they sound, I mean, they have a clear, crisp sound, and you can't mistake them. You know that is a trumpet. So God's voice is like the clarity of a trumpet call, and it's a commanding voice. And but what did it command John to hear or to do? It commanded him to write what he saw. So John was commanded by God himself, you write what you see. And then he was to take that message and he was to send it out to the seven churches, in which is described in verse 11. Once the church heard the message, they were to actually go and to deliver the message to the rest of the world. Mark 16, verse 15. So if you've got your word and you want to turn there, we are commanded. We see that verse, chapter 16 of Mark, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that he was able to give us that command. So once he wrote everything down, he was to send it to the churches, and the churches was to do what he commanded them to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So we see the setting. We have the setting in verse 9 and 10. We also have what John heard in verses 10 and 11. And verses 12 through 16 tell us what John saw. John had to turn to see the voice, and he saw seven golden lampstands. That you read that in the 20th verse of chapter 1. We read this, as for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, and the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So we see clearly here that the seven golden lampstands represented the seven churches. He also saw something like the Son of Man. Now, the Son of Man was actually the title for Messiah. So John is here, and he's making it clear that the revelation he is to receive is coming from Jesus Christ. If we go back to Mark again, and we look at the 8th chapter of Mark, excuse me, and look at the 31st verse, we read this. Mark chapter 8, verse 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. So we see there in Mark that he is the Son of Man, Messiah. We next consider the symbols which characterize John's vision. So we kind of need to kind of look at those a little bit in depth, and that's what we're going to do now. And they characterize what John's vision of the Lord was. So, it's kind of lengthy, and I'll try to be as clear as I can with this. First of all, he saw that he was dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. So he was dressed in a robe, it was reaching down to his feet, and he had a golden sash around his chest. Now, here we have at least three pictures of the Lord. And this describes the robe. First, we get a description of the robe of the high priest. If you go way back to Exodus, the 28th chapter of Exodus, and you look at verse 4, we read about the garments in which the priests were to wear. So, Exodus 28, verse 4 gives us these words. These are the garments which they shall make, a breastpiece and an ephod and a robe and a tunic of checkered work, a turban and a sash, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that he may minister as priest to me. So he gives them garments that they would be ministers to him. So what is this telling us about what John saw as a vision of the Lord? Here, there is a symbol of the high priestly character of the work of Christ. To the Jews, a priest was a man who had access to God, and thereby he could open up a way for others to come to God. So a priest was really, really critical in that time. The priests of that time were actually like the mediators between God and man. So they were very high. And you can see why today men want to hold on to that reputation and that part of what they were called to. Now, others beside the priests wore long robes as well. It was the dress of princesses and kings. If you go to 1 Samuel 24, and we read in 24, verse 5 and 11. So 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 5 tells us this. It came about afterward that David's conscience bothered him because he had cut off the edge of Saul's robe. Saul was the king of the Jews at that time. He was the king of the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, and he wore a robe, as you can see. And then over in 11, David still speaking, "Now my father, see, indeed see the edge of your robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the edge of your robe and did not kill you. Know and perceive that there is no evil or rebellion in my hands, and I have not sinned against you, though you are lying in wait for my life to take it." So the robe, when it comes to Jesus, is the robe of the risen Christ, and it is a robe of royalty. In other words, he is the king. Christ is our king. Now, if you turn to Daniel, the 10th chapter, if you will, Daniel 10, let's go back a ways here. Daniel 10, and we read these words about the divine figure who came to tell Daniel about the truth of God. He was clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold around his waist. So chapter 10 of Daniel, verse 5, "I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of upaz." So you see, divine figures actually wore these robes as well, fine linen with belts of gold. This then is the dress of a messenger of God. So what John was actually seeing, one of the characteristics or traits of Jesus in his vision, was Jesus is presented as the supreme messenger of God. In other words, he was a prophet of God. Jesus the Messiah was a prophet. Now, Jesus' dress shows his eternal threefold office of prophet, the one who brings the truth of God, priest, the one who enables others to enter into the presence of God, and king, the one to whom God has given the power and dominion forever. So God, Jesus, God, sending his son as both prophet and priest and king. Prophet, priest, and king. That is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It also describes that he had hair, which was white like wool, as white as snow. Daniel, the 7th chapter, the 9th verse, gives us this depiction of what he saw as the Ancient of Days. Listen to these wonderful words. I kept looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His vestures was like white snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames. Its wheels were a burning fire. Praise the Lord. What a vision. So Daniel's describing Jesus, who is the Ancient of Days. And what does that mean, the Ancient of Days? Well, it stands for a great age. A great age, and speaks of the eternal existence, but not only the eternal existence, but it also speaks of the wisdom of Jesus. It speaks of Jesus' divine purity. This divine purity described as snow and white wool, and they are symbols of stainless. I mean, there's not stainless to steel, but no stain within them, no corruption within them. A stainless purity. Isaiah, the 1st chapter, if you go to Isaiah, back to Isaiah, the 1st chapter, and read these words out of the 18th verse. Listen to these words. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a vision John has been given here. It also talks of John seeing his eyes, and it says that his eyes were like blazing fire. If you go to the 10th chapter of Daniel, we can read about that, about Daniel's vision of someone with eyes like fire. Daniel chapter 10, verse 6 reads, his body also was like beryl, his face had the appearance of lightning, his eyes were like flaming torches, his arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. Wow. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, even today, as he looks into our lives, he looks with a penetrating gaze. He has insight. And because of that penetrating insight, that penetrating gaze, we cannot hide anything from him. And he is, and because of that, he is enabled to be the one who judges us rightly, righteously. Praise be to his holy name. John also saw his feet, and his feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. In the Old Testament, the bronze altar was the place where the fire consumed the sin offering, and sin was judged. So if we turn back to Exodus and we look at chapter 27, we're going to read kind of a lengthy passage here, but I think it's worth reading. 27th chapter of Exodus, verses 1 through 8, we read these words. And you shall make the altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. The altar shall be square, and its height shall be 3 cubits. You shall make its horns on its 4 corners. Its horns shall be of 1 piece with it, and you shall overlay it with bronze. You shall make its pails for removing its ashes, and its shovels, and its basins, and its forks, and its fire pans, and shall make all of its utensils of bronze. You shall make for it a grating of network of bronze, and on the net you shall make your four bronze rings at its four corners. You shall put it beneath under the ledge of the altar, so that the net will reach halfway up the altar. You shall make poles for the altar, poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with bronze. Its poles shall be inserted into the rings, so that the poles shall be on the two sides of the altar, which is it when it is carried. You shall make it hollow with planks, as it was shown to you in the mountain. So they shall make it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What is this telling us? His feet are like bronze glowing in a furnace. It tells us that the Lord has come to judge the churches, and at the same time, he would also judge this evil worldly system in which we now live. It talked about his voice. John heard his voice. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. I don't know if you've ever been around sounds of mighty waters or rushing waters. I've been around some rapids and stuff like that, or been even at the ocean when the waves are coming in. You can't hear very much. They overcome you. And I know people have told me stories. I've never been to Niagara Falls, but people who have would tell me stories of Niagara. When you're down there, you can't hear anything but the rushing of those waters. And it says that his voice is like the sound of rushing waters. And it is. And what does that depict? It's the sound of power. So in his words, he's saying his voice, his words, is power. And these words inspire awe in us, inspire confidence in us, inspire hope in us. Praise be to his holy name. John also saw in his right hand, he was holding seven stars. And that's in the, if you look at that again, seven stars in Revelation. Look at chapter 1, verse 20. Jump down to verse 20. As for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, and the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the churches. So in his right hand, he held the churches. That's what he's doing. In his right hand right now, he holds these seven stars, which are the churches. The seven stars are the seven angels in the seven churches, and there's actually two possible interpretations of that. The first being, it may be ministering spirits, those invisible but real spiritual beings, angels assigned to each church to help leaders and the congregation know what is in God's heart. Hebrews, the 14th chapter, gives a little bit of insight into that. So if you would, turn to Hebrews, the 14th chapter. And what we read, or it's the first chapter, I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 1, the 14th verse. And we read these words: Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Hallelujah. The other possible interpretation is that the word, we know that the word angel means messenger. Therefore, it could be that these seven ministering spirits were actually pastors, speaking of even pastors of today. God holds his servants and places them where he wants them to shine for us. If we go to Daniel, the 12th chapter, we can see God referencing that in the third verse. So the 12th chapter of Daniel, the third verse reads like this: Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. praise the Lord. Two possible interpretation: ministering spirits or messengers. He also, John saw that fateful day, out of the mouth was a double-edged sword. Hebrews, going back to Hebrews again, if you look at the fourth chapter of Hebrews, and look at fourth chapter of Hebrews, verse 12, we read these words: "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Praise the Lord. This vision that he saw, it was a symbol which tells of the penetrating quality of the word of God, by which Jesus reveals his truth to us. John also saw the face. It said his face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. In all his brilliance. His face was shining in all its brilliance. And the sun, so in this vision, we see that the sun reminds us of Jesus' glory, his presence with us. And it also reminds us of his blessings and his judgment. But what are those blessings? Let's look at Psalm 84. If you look at Psalm 84, let's see if we go Psalm 84. And let's look at verse 11, Psalm 84, 11. We read this word: "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." Praise be to his holy name. So what we see is blessings for the friend, for the friends of Christ. But it's also a burning judgment for the foes of Jesus. Turn with me, if you will, all the way back to 1 John. It's just before Revelation. 1 John, looking at the first chapter. 1 John, first chapter, verse 5, reads this, like this: "This is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness." So God is light. So, what John did, as we read here, we're going to continue in our next segment. But what we see here is what John saw, and I hope that you was able to glean some insight after that. We're going to look at part two of A Vision of Christ the next time we get together. But in the meantime, you can read chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, and you get kind of an idea of what John did. And verse 19 actually gives us an outline of kind of the Revelation as a whole. I know that we've gone long, so I want to close this in prayer, and thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you. Father God, we thank you for these moments together. And again, Lord, we give you honor, glory, and praise, for you are worthy. You are our King, and we see you much in the same way that John sees you. And I hope, Lord, that you continue to impress that upon our spirit, upon our souls, upon our hearts and minds. We praise you. We love you. Now, Lord, be merciful unto us according to thy loving kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in peace. We'll talk to you next time. God bless you. Thank you for listening.